Good afternoon. Today, myself, Barbara Kaare, K-A-A-R-E hyphen Lopez, I am the interviewer. I am going to interview Barbara Johnston, who was a Peace Corps volunteer in Nepal from 1980 to 1982. And today is April 1st, 2016. Here in the United States, it's April Fool's Day. And Barbara already said her project when she went to Nepal initially was with water supply. And then she'll tell you more. And then later, it switched to nutrition and health. Okay? So we have, 13 questions. We might cover them all. We'll see. Some of them might be a little repetitive. So how are you today, Barbara Johnston?
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. And also I have to say, this is the first time I'm using the digital recorder, but I have a tape recorder going also. Okay, so the first question is for Barbara to describe her family, work, if she would like to, current residence, to begin with. Okay, so let's begin with that, Barb Johnston.
My current work.
Yeah.
Right, okay. I am presently live in Denver, Colorado. I'm a school nurse, and I've been a school nurse for 20 years and plan to retire in June.
And your family situation?
Okay. I'm single, and I have an adopted daughter, Abby, who's 22 years old.
Where is Abby from?
She was born in Guatemala.
Okay. If you can, think back to the year before joining the Peace Corps and what you can remember, what was your life like back then? So I know you were 1980, so about 1979. Anything you might want to share with us that influenced you to become a Peace Corps volunteer?
Okay. Well, at the time I had worked for the Migrant Health Program. I also lived in an apartment and was thinking, what was I going to do next? I believe I was working part-time at the hospital also, or with the Visiting Nurse Association. And I happened to see in the paper where they wanted Peace Corps volunteers when I was looking for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And they were advertising for Peace Corps, and I thought, I'm not sure what I want to do with my life, so I'm ready to make a change. And so I applied, and originally I was going to go to Yemen in 1980, but because of their some political unrest, then I got switched to go to Nepal.
Okay. Anything else you might want to add about why you joined the Peace Corps, or is that
So at that time, I was going to go with the water supply group. A couple of those people had done just construction. A couple of people were bridge builders or engineers. They were all guys, and a couple of women in the group. And I went with them. And when I got there, I knew that that's not the training that I could do. So I was able to join a health and nutrition group. I was the only one, but like a lady ministry or something let me get involved and in the southern part of Nepal. So I was in the Terai area called Hetota. I went between two different villages.
Could you spell that village?
Yeah.
Hetota?
Hetota, H-E-T-O-U-D-A, I believe. And the other was a Chapang village, which is a tribe, and it was 2 or 3 hours away from there, across the river, and totally different people and that kind of thing. So I worked in those two villages.
Okay. Now, this third question, we already talked about how you heard about the Peace Corps. Can you talk a little bit about the process and the timing? For instance, some people say, it took me 9 months to get accepted, or things of that nature. Do you remember much about how you applied?
I don't think the application took as long as it does now, because I know people now wait several months. I might have waited several months, but I think the length of time wasn't as long. And at the time I had a bachelor's degree in sociology, but I was an LPN, so I wasn't an RN at the time.
Okay. Did you have a specific country or project in mind yourself before you joined?
No.
Okay. Okay. Here's the fourth question. So what were your friends' or family's reactions when you were accepted? For instance, was there any hesitation or reservations on their part, your part?
Well, I remember my father said that I need to stay home and get a regular job so I can start getting Social Security.
Okay. And quit. Sorry, we're laughing, those of you who are listening. Okay.
And quit moving around or you know, have that. So I remember him saying it was important to get a good job and settle down and start getting Social Security. And that's basically family membership.
How about your mom and or your sister and brother?
Well, I think they were accepting. My mother actually had cancer at the time, was diagnosed, and she said, "You've always wanted to do something like this, so you need to go." So,
yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Here's the fifth question. What project were you invited to join? You've already mentioned that a little bit. So maybe we could talk about the nutrition and health then. How did you prepare yourself and others for your, it says dislocation, but like moving away, entering into 2 years of Peace Corps service?
Okay, well, I lived here in Denver and I had an apartment, so I moved a lot of things home. And
where is home?
Wyoming, okay. And Casper, Wyoming. And then I did move some of my furniture, a few pieces of my furniture, to the San Luis Valley where I had lived before, to a friend that lived out in the country. So, but a lot of it just went home at the time.
Okay. Our next question is about your Peace Corps training. This is question six. The question has to do with where were you trained, if you want to speak about the faculty, the syllabus they use, technical studies, things of that, to begin with. Then we have more parts to that question. Do you remember much about the training?
Well, training was wonderful, meeting Nepali people who, I think the cultural aspect of teaching us, you know, about different caste systems, about different things about Nepal, were wonderful. And the literature they gave us, now that I'm looking back, I think that was, and also the training was fun when we had to go, you know, live with families for a while during that period of time. Kind of forgotten exactly, but I remember the training taught about language, cultural situations, because Nepal has so many varied population, that Hindu, you know, some are Buddhist, and, you know, we had to learn the different cultural situations. So that was a lot of interest. I had a hard time with the language myself. I thought it was very difficult.
Which language did you learn?
Nepali.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to say something about the training, though.
Okay. But reaction to other trainees, unless you want to expand on the training.
Well, I just wanted to say the training is that once I got to my village, doing health and nutrition, it's hard to do health and nutrition when a buffalo is, you know, wallowing in a mud puddle or something. You know,
was the buffalo a fellow student?
No. And so I do believe training. I wish they'd spent more time teaching about gardening, raising chickens, other things. The cultural aspect was wonderful and that kind of thing, but I wish they had spent more time training, because I didn't do gardening here. I mean, you know, and maybe they think that was just automatic, but I think they wish they'd given more training on how to raise chickens, gardening, small goats, things like that.
Okay. About language training, I don't know if you said this, did you have to live with a family that spoke only Nepali, for instance?
Yes, yeah. I lived with a couple of different families, and they only spoke Nepali, and we stayed with them for so many weeks, and then I think we changed to another family.
Okay. Now, I don't know the selection process, what they're doing now in 2016, but at that time, many of us had a selection process. I'm assuming that they did for you, like some of the folks in your group that maybe did not make it, you know, to become a volunteer. Did you have anything you'd want to share with us about the selection? Or did you have other trainees that had to go home that couldn't finish the, I'm assuming, 10 weeks of training, whatever? Anything you want to share about that?
Well, I just remember one woman friend in our group from California had been there before traveling, and she decided not to stay and work and be there as a volunteer, so she left. But that's all I remember. I'm sure there were a couple of people, but you know, I don't know, because I kind of worked solo in my because I was with this nutrition parliament group or associated with a lady in the in this one area. I mean, there were a couple of people that left, but I can't remember. I remember she left because she just didn't feel like it was going to fit in. She loved traveling there, and she had traveled there before, but I don't think she wanted to work there for 2 years.
Okay. Do you remember how many people were in your training group?
Oh, there might have been 10 to 15. I can't remember.
Okay. While we're moving on to the seventh question, what was your, when you first went into the country, entered the country, your reaction to the country that you were assigned, which in your case was Nepal? For instance, the project. We'll start with that.
Well, not even just the project, but I remember being in Kathmandu and going out with other volunteers or going in the evening, and definitely a culture shock of the mass amount of poverty in the area. You know, people cooking outside, you know, no electricity, no water. You know, even in Kathmandu, you know, streets were very dark, no lighting. And I just, you know, by the mass amount of poverty, not just certain sections like you might see in the United States, but, you know, the poverty and certainly you could see the lack of resources.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I never thought of this. This is not on the list of questions, but sometimes people talk about the smells. Do you remember anything like that? If people were cooking outside and... I'm not sure about the bathroom usage then, but anything you remember about that? The sounds, the smells.
You know, people would cook outside. There were hardly any bathrooms around, or there weren't any. So a lot of times, especially the women, would go in my villages, would go out in the fields. In the town of Kathmandu, you just, you know, there weren't those kind of things set up. A lot of the restaurants were not very clean either. I think they got used to cleaning them more when trekkers started coming through, and they would clean the rice from the table or whatever. But yeah, the sense of poverty and health and, you know, maybe there might be water spigots in the town or whatever, but definitely the poverty and lack of resources.
Yeah. Anything you want to share with us about the Peace Corps staff at that time?
No, they were Nepalese that, you know, were great people. That's all.
Okay.
I know they were, you know, a lot of them had later, I think some of them came to the United States or went on to school or whatever. But, you know, they were, you know, great people to meet. I mean, while I was there, I didn't continue knowing any of them afterwards, after Peace Corps.
How long was your training, your Peace Corps training? Don't remember? Okay.
I don't remember.
Okay. Now,
probably same as anybody else's.
I know mine was 10 weeks, but anyways, we're moving onwards to the eighth question, which is to talk about your assignment. So some of the examples we could use are, could you tell us a little bit about the specifics of your job assignment?
Okay, well, I lived in Hatoda was the main town, and I walked probably 45 minutes to a village where I lived with a family. And I lived upstairs, and they all lived downstairs. And the ama, the mother, did cook upstairs. But anyway, I had a separate room above the tea shop. They had a tea shop down below and one room where the family lived, and I lived upstairs. And it was, kind of a road just going through the town, and there were houses on each side and, one school at the end of the block. And so I that's where I lived there. And then in the Chapong village, I lived in the health post. And it was The health post was on one side, and I stayed on the other side in a room there. And so I kind of went back and forth between the two villages.
Okay. Lisa, you might have said this, and I might not have. We might not have recorded it. Did you ever actually work in that water supply project for a short time?
No.
Okay,
no.
That was the initial project.
Yeah.
Okay, so you always worked in nutrition and health.
Yeah.
Okay.
I might have gone through the part of the training, then I was able to switch over.
Okay. Can you share with us anything about your living conditions? I mean, you've already mentioned a little bit. You lived above the tea house. We'll start with that one.
So
what
was
your room like?
Well, it's just one room, and I could look down out of the window down the road to see everybody coming in and out. And they had different houses on each side. And when I say houses, they were mostly wooden buildings. And then the other village was much more. They were Chapong. They wore loincloths. The poverty there was even more. And they grew millet there. And their houses were just small with thatch roofs. A lot of them were wooden with thatch roofs.
What did you use for the bathroom or outhouse or whatever?
They didn't have an outhouse. I did try to build an outhouse with some people there, did build one, but they just used the out by the back of the house.
And that's what you had to do also?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to assume electricity, there wasn't any?
Electricity in the one village was on and off, and the other village didn't have any electricity.
Okay, and how did you get water?
There was a well, a river down the road, and we brought water up in a bucket from there.
Okay, and so you used a bucket.
Yeah, and I would go to the river to bathe and stuff like that, just sponge bath and stuff.
Can you tell us about a typical day in your first village? Or maybe they're the same, but a typical day.
Okay, well, I was pretty much on my own. So I had a bag with actually some deworming medicine and the strip that you measure children's arms with for malnutrition. And I went around, and I did have some posters, and small posters, and I would just go around to the village and do health and nutrition and talk about, you know, washing your hands and trying to build toilets and clinging wounds. That was one of the biggest things, is seeing wounds on kids that got infected.
Mm-hmm.
And so making sure they cleaned with soap and water or just water even. And so I did that, and I would just kind of walk up and down the road and do that. A couple of days I would work in the health post with someone there. And people would be coming in for different care there because their kids were sick and I was at that health post.
Speaking of soap, did most families have some type of soap to use?
No, they used just water from, you know, that they got from the river. A lot of them didn't have soap. Some of them made their own soap or, you know, they may have gotten some. I do remember pregnant women, if they killed a goat or something, they would keep the blood, drink the blood, because that gave them iron.
Wow.
You know, they used every bit of every slaughter, every chicken, every goat, everything that they always used.
Did you ever try drinking the blood?
No.
Okay. Just wondering.
I did eat the goat, so.
Good.
Okay.
How would you describe your relations with the people of the country? However, if you wanted to start with your host family, perhaps.
My host family had a mother and a father, and they had two children living in the house. And the one little girl was deaf, I remember.
Oh.
And she didn't go to school. And I can remember once in a while she would have temper tantrums or whatever in the middle of the road. I could hear her mother, you know, getting upset with her or whatever. They had a... the brother-in-law or something ran the tea shop too. I didn't see the dad a lot. I think he went to another town and worked some part of the time or something. So I lived upstairs with them. What was the other question? Oh, in the other village, I lived by myself and I just kind of got to know people in the village.
Is that where you lived in the health post?
Yeah.
Like a health center or something?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have a room to yourself?
No, it was just part of the health. It was in the... there was one room there. There was two rooms, and I guess I stayed in one room, the other room. Yeah.
Okay.
The health post.
Yeah. Okay. How about other Peace Corps volunteers? Were there other Peace Corps volunteers in town?
No, there weren't any other Peace Corps volunteers. When I went to Kathmandu, that's when I saw other Peace Corps volunteers.
You might have said this, and I don't remember. How far away were your towns from Kathmandu?
Well, let's see. I don't know, remember.
How about time? Like an hour to get there?
No, Hetoda, you had to take a bus north to Kathmandu. I don't know. I remember 3 or 4 hours on the bus. And so the other one was further away. So I think there were several hours on a bus to get to Kathmandu. But it was right on the border of India.
Okay. Another part of this assignment question has to do with your work time versus leisure time. Well, anything, you've already talked a little bit about your work time. Anything else you'd like to share about your work day?
Well, I was pretty much very much on my own. So, I mean, I hear a lot of volunteers saying that, you know, it's hard for them to kind of get motivated or because if they were working on their own, you know, do things on their own. I felt like some days I felt like I visited people in the village, but most every day I went out, you know, walked up and down, went further than my village to do health and nutrition. I did go into the schools some. I wish I'd done more work in the schools, but I always envied the teachers because I felt like they had kind of a more specific job to do, you know, where they got up and they had a place to go.
Yeah.
Where mine was, you know, pretty much on my own. And but I was 32 when I went into Peace Corps, and I do hear from a lot of volunteers that went very, very young. They just didn't have a lot of experience before they went, and so they didn't know how to get started, or they didn't know how to self-start, or they didn't know quite how to do things on their own.
Okay.
And so I have talked to volunteers saying, oh, gee, it was hard for me to know how to get going and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. How did you know, like, did you get some guidance from, I'll say, a program manager, like, go to this town? And then, you know, within a week, you need to visit three towns.
No,
I'm just making that up.
I was stationed in Hetoda, but I can't even remember. I was kind of under a later lady ministry.
Ministry of Health?
And that's who I worked with. I didn't work with her, but she's the one that set me up for these two villages. And
Nepali minister?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't even remember how I got set up with them, her. I only met with her a couple of times, though. So.
Okay. How about your leisure time? What would you do when you weren't working?
Okay. Well, when I wasn't working, I went to Hetoda. There was a Peace Corps volunteer there that I'm still in contact with. He lives in Washington, D.C., and he was working at the college there, who had a totally, totally different kind of training or program than I did. He lived in quite a nice little house, but he went to a little college every day and was working with, animals something. And but anyway, so he came to my village one time and said, oh my gosh, I can't believe, you know, just such a change of whatever. But I visited him. Also, there were some British people in the town of Hetoda working on a water project. So I spent time with them and Australians, visited them.
So they had specific projects
they
were working on?
Yeah, they were working on, yeah.
Okay, British and Australians. Okay. Would you like to say anything about how your life and work changed over the time you spent there? Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, it was just very difficult because you don't have resources and you don't have, you know, it's very, very difficult when people, don't have the amount of food, they don't have water to grow things sometimes, you know, so it's very hard to teach nutrition. It's kind of, and also their animals are probably, you know, a greater priority, but it's harder to teach nutrition when, you know, they need other things. They need clean water, they need schools, they need, you know, they need food, they need vegetables, they need those kind of things. And you know, to really do a good job and with help teaching health and nutrition. So I tried to focus on washing hands, building latrines, kids did have a lot of worms, those kind of things. You know, you saw the malnutrition of kids, and you know, so I tried to work on general health stuff.
Okay. This is the ninth question that we're going to ask. But this is about the end of your first year. Within the list of examples they give, anything you'd like to share with us about any notable events, your reflections after a year? Unexpected events.
Well, I don't remember right now because it was so many years ago. I don't remember a specific thing at that time. So
okay. How about health problems? Did you have any health problems?
No, I was pretty healthy except for maybe getting giardia once in a while.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I was pretty healthy.
Were you able to take a vacation?
While I was there, I did go to India and I went to Sri Lanka.
Oh, okay. Did you travel much within the country of Nepal?
I traveled some. Because I came from the mountains, I was excited about the mountains there, but I was more excited about the different people. So I didn't go to some different tourist places like a lot of Nepalis did, or like a lot of Peace Corps volunteers did.
Yeah. You know, I think it's they call it the base camp. I mean, I can't remember. Yeah. In a previous conversation, you might have told me, did you go to the Mount Everest base camp?
Yes, I did go there with some people, the very lowest one, where you could still see Mount Everest. So I did go to that one.
What altitude could that have been?
Oh, I don't remember. Probably over 10, anyway.
10,000, okay. Okay, now we're moving on to the 10th question on this suggested list of interview questions. At the end of your tour, your time in Peace Corps, can you explain your sense of achievement or failure? Any pluses or minuses in your relations with the Nepalese or work with the people of the country? Anything of that nature? How did you feel after your 2 years? Did you complete 2 years?
Yes. You know, I think, you know, a lot of, like a lot of volunteers, I think you kind of walk away feeling like you didn't get enough accomplished. And the main thing is, I think, for me, is being able to go into different little small villages and be very welcomed by people, even though I just kind of walked in with they may not know me. But I can remember saying, oh, do you have a baby in the house or something, and they thought I meant their baby calf because their animals were very, very important to them, you know.
Would you say more than their kids?
Well, not necessarily, but
different.
It was the word that I said, you know, let me see your baba, and that meant, you know, their baby calf, and so it was, my language wasn't very good. But I think their animals were very precious to them because that's what gave them food and, you know, that kind of thing. And I think dehydration was a severe, and malnutrition was a severe problem for children. And, you know, I remember going back up to a village one time, and I had been there a few months before, and the mother had said that their baby had died, you know, and even the 2 or 3 year old that was there. So I did see several children that had died when I saw them, and you know, that was, you know, it's very hard, it was very difficult. You know, I think Peace Corps is hard. I think it's not, I don't think it was an easy job. I think a lot of people, you don't have a lot of resources, and you know, the poverty is extreme. So,
yeah, okay. What are your plans for the future? Or maybe let me rephrase it. What were your plans for the future when you finished your 2 years?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I definitely, after I left, I was not a registered nurse at the time. And when I came home, I said, I'm getting my RN.
Okay.
Because I loved seeing, you know, I mean, one thing that was very valuable to me there is seeing different things that I would see. Rashes on people, or I would see the malnutrition, I would see things that I just said, you've got to get, you know, I had definitely a deeper interest in getting my nurse's degree. So as soon as I returned, then I finished getting RN.
Where did you get your RN at?
Metro or here, in Colorado. Yeah,
okay.
Good.
Now we're moving on to the 11th question. Okay, overall, This is to evaluate your service. You know, remember the Peace Corps' 3 goals. So we'll start with the first one. How would you say your service was, were you able to provide technical assistance where requested? And if not, your situation was, it sounds more primitive, so maybe that won't apply.
I didn't do any technical assistance. I wish I'd done more in gardening and raising chickens, even though they had them. I think that as a health and nutrition provider, I could have spent more time in that area instead of just, seeing sick children and telling them what they needed to do for those kids, and how to treat diarrhea and how to build a latrine, that kind of thing. So that I wish I had done more on.
Speaking of latrines, did many of the families you tried to teach build latrines?
Well, we did have one built in the one or near the health post in the other village, but I didn't see a lot of families do that. They did it in the one house that I lived in the one village. But no, I still did not see that as a...
Okay, we're stopping. Stop.
Oh.